Hello, everyone. Welcome to Narrative Calculus, the podcast show where we review everything from movies to books to TV shows and musicals and everything in between. Today, we have arguably, maybe, one of the best superhero movies of 2017, of a year that came out with such movies as Thor Ragnarok, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, Wonder Woman, Spider-Man Homecoming, the Lego Batman movie, all those great movies. Will this one exceed them? Will this one excel and become the best superhero movie of 2017? I'm talking about, of course, Captain Underpants, the first epic movie.
Brilliant. A work of art. 10 out of 10.
How to beat that intro. Obviously, this movie came out in 2017. It grossed $125 million. Stars Kevin Hart as George. Ed Helms as Captain Underpants and / Mr. Krupp. Nick Kroll as a Professor Poopy Pants. Thomas Middledutch as Harold. And that's basically all the characters you're going to need to know throughout this movie. And if you haven't heard of the books, it's actually based on a children's novel by author slash illustrator Dov Pilkey. And the first book came out in 1997, simply called Captain Underpants, and became a worldwide phenomenon that we all know. And
why?
I'm not sure how much of us love it. I used to love it. I used to think it was hilarious. Like, I would laugh at that all the time. But those days are behind me.
It kind of reminds me of that scene later on in the movie. What did we used to laugh at? Well, potty humor, vomit, poop, yeah. And then they're like, oh, we enjoyed that? Yeah. That is the lowest form of humor.
Lowest, yeah. So, Ty, do you want to give us a quick rundown of the plot?
So, you have these two imaginative, over-the-top prankster kids who live in this joyless, soulless world known as the public school system. And their main antagonist is this dude called Principal Krupp. Krupp is basically Satan walking on Earth. They hypnotize him into thinking that he's a hero known as Captain Underpants. A whole lot of weird stuff happens. They meet some dude named Professor P, and I'm not going to finish his name for reasons. They have a big fight scene.
You're not going to lower your dignity.
Yeah, they have a big fight scene. Stuff happens. Captain Underpants gets actual superpowers because, you know, reasons. And then it ends with the boys unhypnotizing Captain Underpants and turning him back into Krupp, but it's turned out that for whatever reason the hypnotization stuck around, and then I guess that was supposed to be the sequel hook. Oh, look, he's still all right, let's just
I think they did continue in a Netflix show, but we're not reviewing that.
Why not?
So well, I don't have a Netflix account, so I guess that's the main reason. Let's start off with the characters, George Beard and Harold Hutchins, the two main protagonists, I'd say, of the film, even though they're not the superhero.
No, they're the narrator. So the way narrator characters, Krupp is supposed to be the protagonist.
Okay.
The main characters are the ones you continue.
So, okay, I guess they're just narrated characters. But the way I feel about them is, I mean, I think that they were pretty relatable and they were fun to watch in the first act, like the first part up to where they had, like, the fake ending. You remember that? Like, when they were, like, pulling off the prank and getting in trouble with Krupp and, you know, doing the little Saturday dance and stuff like that. Yeah. I think they were pretty, yeah. I think they were pretty enjoyable up to that point, and they had objectives and reasons to do what they did. You know, they were like the last line of defense, the little resistance they had to basically all these kids being crushed on the inside and taught to not be able to have joy in their lives at all. And they're able to throw this big, like, huge party, and eventually they get exposed by Krupp, and That's the plot stuff, though. And but after that point, I feel that they become really disconnected. Like, what they do, like, they don't really do anything, and what they do do has, like, no effect. Okay. Okay, this is, okay, never mind. Well, and what they do has much less bearing on the plot, and they're just kind of reacting to everything, and everything is happening to them, which I think kind of pulls them out of the story a lot. How did you feel about that?
I don't think they were so much, I don't think it was a matter of action versus reaction. I don't know, I felt like they were pretty, I think it's the fact that their character arc didn't really go anywhere. They never really, well, they didn't really have much of a character arc at all. At first, throughout the movie, my expectations kept on rising throughout the first act, because I was so surprised, because I thought, well, not rising, they kept changing. When I saw the description of the movie, two pranksters turned their principal into a dim-witted hero named Captain Underpants, I thought to myself, hey, what if this is actually pretty good? What if this ends up being some kind of, you know, touching story about how we all need to learn to accept our inner child or something like that, right? Like the Little Prince or something.
Yeah, yeah, I can see.
Okay, so we go in. Okay, there doesn't seem to be much going on with Krupp. He doesn't seem to be the main character. Maybe I was wrong. Maybe it's these two kids who are the main character, who are the protagonists, and they're the ones who are going to end up changing. No, they didn't. They didn't really. Nothing really happened to their... throughout the first act, they emphasize this idea of... You know, like, the entire thing seems like a commentary on the public education system. You know, turning children into mindless robots, right? Mm-hmm. Suck the joy out of their lives, pretty much. But it doesn't really go anywhere with that theme. It stops right there. It doesn't really examine that any further, and specifically with regards to the characters, Harold and George, they don't, there's not any moment where their idea is tested, where they say, hey, maybe we were wrong, maybe discipline is really needed, and there's not any moment where they say, no, we were wrong about being wrong, it's really important that we do stay, you know, laughing and all that stuff. They're pretty much just totally, they cruise.
I definitely agree with that. I think there were a lot of like themes that were like presented and just kind of left off, like they kind of used something like that a little bit. They changed around, like when they went to Krupp's house, right? And then they see that he's not really a super mean guy, he's just lonely, and then they're able to use their pranks for not like harming the teachers, but to like help them to like, so I guess that happened a little bit, but I do agree that like if they had been like there was no arc, like they didn't need to change at all, like there could have definitely been something that would increase their characters. What do you think about Krupp? I think that the Krupp side of him was just, like, I don't know, like, barely even a character.
I was really disappointed. I was honestly pretty disappointed. Because, again, like, my expectations... Yeah. I had my expectations way too high for a movie named Captain Underpants. I mean, when I saw the description, I really thought it was going to be some thematically dense story about some dude who learns to... Mm-hmm. Like, how I was expecting it. Captain Underpants would be Captain Underpants all throughout the second act, and then right at the third act, he would transform back, right? He would, you know, go back to being super mean or whatever, and then he would realize, for whatever reason, that maybe, you know, he needs to learn to laugh more and stop being such a crazy, you know, insane disciplinarian, right? But no, there's nothing like that. At the end, the only sense of change we get is at the very end for about a minute when he says, oh, well, you know, the book was actually kind of okay. And that's it.
Yeah. But the problem I had with that, too, The problem I had with that, too, is there was no reason for it. Like, it's not like him being hypnotized into Captain Underpants changed anything from him being from his corrupt side of his personality. And how does him getting a, like, a letter to go on a date change his opinion on their books? Like, I didn't see any reason for him to change his opinion. How about you? This kind of felt super out of place to me.
I think it makes sense.
Like, what reasoning?
I think it makes sense. He was in a better mood because he finally had a date or whatever. But, I mean, like, from a story perspective, it's just really dumb. It should have come after, you know... There really should have been some moment where he takes up the cape. What I was really hoping for was he would put on the cape intentionally. He would put on the underwear without... He would...
Oh, yes.
And so that
would have been great.
And that's when he unlocks his superpowers. When he finally, you know, that's where I was expecting them to go with it. But no,
that would have been pretty good. That would have been good. Yeah, pretty disappointing. And so I think we have Professor P, who has clear goals on what he wants to do. But I think the problem with him is the same as George and Harold. He doesn't change at all. He just kind of, like, gets beaten, you know? It's not, like, for a kid's movie, usually what happens is, like, the supervillain, like, learns his lesson, not necessarily in, like, a way where he's getting, like, punished, but in a way where he sees the error of his ways, but that doesn't really happen, which I was a little disappointed by, because I felt like they really had something, like, strong going there with the, like, having all the people laughing at him his whole life. Like, I felt they really could have gone somewhere.
Again, with
that.
The... Interest. They set up these expectations. Oh, okay, so I was wrong about the protagonist being Captain Underpants. It's these two kids. They're going to have to learn that sometimes you need to stop laughing and to really take other people's problems seriously, right? And then, no, they don't. Why did I have such high expectations for a movie called a Captain Underpants?
Well, I know, well... I think there might have been two reasons, not just for you, but for other people, is because the books were pretty good. They were obviously attracted a huge audience. And there was a movie back in 2014, 2013, I don't remember, called The Lego Movie, which was expected to be nothing but a two-hour commercial about Legos that actually turned out to be an extremely good kids movie. Like I think we can all agree that The Lego Movie is a really good movie, so... I think that a movie's basic plot shouldn't be, like, isn't enough to hold it down, because it didn't hold this down. I think it's just disappointing that it didn't happen again with this movie. So, but, I mean, back to Professor P's character. Do you have anything that you want to say?
Nah, I really want to move on to the plot, actually.
Okay, but real quick, how about Captain Underpants?
I mean...
Anything about him?
I'm disappointed there was no moment where, you know, like, Captain Krupp and Krupp and Captain Underpants never have some kind of epic conflict. Ooh. Where they fight each other inside his head or something.
I know that's exactly what I was thinking. It could have been like a Hulk or a Venom kind
like
of thing.
Like, neither
you know?
Of them can accept each other, and that's what causes them to constantly get beaten up and
stuff.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But then when they finally...
But they're still like a team.
No, though. But at the end, they would accept each other, and that's what would give them, you know...
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, Captain Underpants would learn that he needs to be a bit more, you know... He can't be so dim-witted.
That,
he
that
has
would have been
be...
really good, because... Yeah, that because like when he's like he, like obviously bad things were happening to the kids at the fair, and so maybe like the Krupp side kind of like saw that a little bit, and then like but then the Krupp side saw the bad things that he was doing to the kids and being so cruel to them. They both kind of like learned a little bit from each other. I can definitely see that. That would have been. I mean, I think it's just a lot of missed opportunities.
I know, and it's crazy. And what's most disappointing is that like I didn't have to analyze these parts very deeply. I immediately saw, hey, they could have done that. Hey, they could have done that. Hey, why didn't they do that? You know, how did they miss all this? There was a lot of, they set everything up so well, and then that's what's disappointing. They set it up so well, but then they just could not get to the second, they couldn't execute it at the end. They dashed across the they were dashing across, and then at the 50-meter point, they just fell flat on their face, you know?
Yeah. Well, let's, I guess, move on to the plot, which I think was better than the characters. So, it basically consists of Harold and George, and they want to... They're, like, best friends, and they want to, like, help their students learn to live a little bit more, and they're trying to fight the corruption of the... fight the injustices of a cruel and evil public school. But then, Mr. Krupp, the principal, he gets the class suck up to make an invention that's like has a security camera eye in it, and he catches them during one of their pranks, and he can use that as viable evidence to separate them because they're being like a disturbance or something like that. And so they have to use the ring, the hypno ring that they got from a comic book, I think.
It was in a cereal box. Like
a cereal box or a comic book? Cereal box. I'm pretty sure it was a comic book in the graphic novel, but okay, cereal box. And hypnotize him into being a chicken and then into Captain Underpants.
Alright, let's not go through a full recap.
I'm nearly done. And then he's like, and then they just kind of chase after Captain Underpants the whole rest of the time. I feel it was better than the characters, like, especially, like, I think they had really good motivation of, like, being best friends and not wanting to be torn apart. Trying to, like, get in the same class. But I think that's, like, the only place where anything, like, really happens.
So, let's talk a bit about how it played with some of the tropes in its plot and how meta and self-referential this entire thing was. And this is where the first act tripped me up, because when I saw how many meta jokes and how consistently self-aware it was, I thought, well, I mean, like, I hate Teen Titans Go massively. I think it's very bad, but when it gets self-referential, when it knows that it's bad and exploits on that, even I can enjoy it, right? So I figured, hey, maybe it's going to be something like that. So, like, it is hilarious the way they play with these tropes. For example, right off the start, they tell the origin story, and it's literally just Superman's origin story, with a naked baby, you know, flying through the air. And what's even better is how they grab the potty humor and actually make it surprisingly witty. Like, when they double down on the potty humor so hard, it loops back around to being funny. Like, instead of making just a normal underwear joke, what they do is they have the underwear be a slingshot to send Captain Underpants into space, right? Where he's then raised by dolphins. Yeah. You know, it's so self-referential, and again, that's what got me thinking it was going to be a lot better.
Really quick. As a writer, what do you think of that? Would you ever come up with a trope, well, not a trope, but come up with dolphin origin parents? Because I know you like to write a lot, too.
Would I come up with
dolphin origin? No, basically, okay, let me rephrase that. Who do you think's a better writer, you or Harold? Because he's a writer, too, so who do you say?
I'm going to have to give the trophy to Harold. He managed... He's a genius. He's a genius. Okay, let's get back more on topic. So what did you think of all the meta, you know?
Like, I mean, it was funny, but, I mean, humor is not enough to, like, make a bad plot good. Like, I feel like the whole plot was just stuff happening to them after the second act, and I wasn't a huge fan of that, because then there was no deeper... It was like, when everything happens to them, you can't really connect with them at all because none of their choices really mean anything. I mean, it does until they do in like the first act, until they do the hypno ring thing, and then I feel like it's just them chasing after Captain Underpants the whole rest of the time, and then the science teacher thing, he's just kind of thrown in there, and there's really
that came way out of left wing.
He's just thrown in there to be. to be a villain, it felt like the plot could have, like, wrapped itself up and been just fine. Well, not been just fine, but it feels like it should have finished there. And then they just bring a villain out of nowhere, like... Like, I was not a huge fan of that.
What did you think of some of the camera comic book style techniques that they used, actually? I'm curious. Since you're a filmmaker and all, right? I mean, you noticed how several times they would set it up like a comic book and then they would reach across the frame, which was pretty funny and...
Oh, you mean like in the beginning, right?
All throughout, or, where they like, played...
Like, which part specifically?
All trying? Throughout, where they played around with the camera and the framing devices. Just say that you don't remember it. Just don't tell me in the text.
I don't remember that. I mean, like I can think of a couple points of what you're talking about, but I didn't think it really had any really impact on the story, which is like what the camera angles are supposed to do.
Well, I just thought that the style was pretty interesting. You know, how they played around with that. All right, how about let's just move on to what was it again? Theme.
Yeah. A couple half-baked ones, like we were talking about, like how, I don't know, public school needs to be more fun, or how everyone has, like, some good in them when it comes out, like with the crop and the date thing, and I feel like that was it. Like, there wasn't...
They're so far in the background, they might as well not be there. They trip you up with the first act again. They really do. They set it up. Every time I kept on waiting for the moment when the theme would be magically revealed and all of it would make sense. No. I think we've already pretty well covered themes, so let's just skip ahead to music and visuals.
Yeah. Visuals, I don't have much to say for that, and the theme music, I like the one song from Ferris Bueller, and I think that's it, right? Just that one song.
I thought it was pretty interesting how they, borrowed from some older tunes, like, folk songs, did you notice in the background?
For which scenes?
There's one scene where they're talking and Battle Hymn of the Republic is playing in the background, and I think British Grenadiers, maybe? Not sure. I just thought that was pretty interesting. Actually, a cool choice, really. Let's just skip on to quick thoughts.
So, I don't have much to say other than this movie left me wanting a lot more. And felt under-delivered. I don't feel that a basic plot should be able to hold it down as much as it did. But it did. And I feel like for fans of Captain Underpants, well, I mean, the original book did come out in 97. But the target audience is our kids who are like from, I don't know, maybe like 7 to 12. But then again, those kids who grew up with it in 97, they're like adults now, so... Who do you think this movie was for? Do you think it was, like, just directly? Because the Lego movie was somewhat for adults, too. I mean, they were able to...
I think it was for I think it was nostalgia for older fans and meant for younger children who got into the series. Oh, maybe they were hoping to use it as, an advertisement for the books, you know? Oh, you want the rest of the story? Kid, huh? Go beg your parents to buy you the books off of Amazon. So,
any quick thoughts you have on it? Besides?
Well, you know, the humor was pretty solid, surprisingly. Although I was disappointed when it did actually get into... pretty much just potty humor. I was surprised by how little there was, though. I mean, I was expecting this to be nothing but fart jokes, but no, it was actually pretty witty throughout the whole thing.
I feel like it kind of, I think that like the witty humor kind of just fell down after they hypnotize Krupp. I think everything just kind of falls flat as soon as they hypnotize Krupp. Like nothing that happens after there's really any good. So what would you give this movie from 1 to 10?
6. 6 out of 10.
Wow. Wow. A 6.
Well,
No.
I mean,
come on, man. Not a 6.
Well, 5 is total indifference, right? 4 is I disliked it more than I liked it, and I have to say I liked it more than I disliked it. There was a lot of missed opportunities, but there weren't a lot of parts that were explicitly actually bad, right? I mean, you can see there's more they could have done with it, but there's nothing that's actually really awful about it.
I mean, I guess you're right about that. So you give it a 6 out of 10. I guess for me, I'll give it a 4 out of 10.
Really?
Because I was just very disappointed.
Okay, yep. Hold on.
4 out of 10 for me.
So, are you giving it that low a rating because you were hoping it could be better, or are you giving it that low a rating because you actually think it deserves that rating?
I'd say 25% because I was disappointed and 75% because of what I actually thought of it.
So, generally speaking, you actually disliked it more than you liked it?
I did dislike it more than I liked it.
Really?
Yeah. There were parts where I did like it, but in general, I disliked it more than I liked it.
All right. Wow.
Yeah. So I guess together, the Narrative Calculus podcast gives Captain Underpants, the first epic movie, 5 out of 10. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you on the next one. Bye. If you enjoyed this episode of Narrative Calculus, don't forget to subscribe. And if you would like to help spread the word, please be sure to leave us a 5-star review and tell your friends to subscribe also. We're available on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts. Also, be sure to listen to some of our other episodes, and we'll see you on the next one. Bye, everyone.